This is Open to Hope Radio, featuring Dr. Gloria Horsley and her daughter, Dr. Heidi Horsley, coming to you on behalf of the Open to Hope Foundation, dedicated to those who are looking for hope after loss. Now, here's Dr. Gloria.
Welcome to the Open to Hope Show. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Well, good morning, Heidi. Afternoon in New York. How are things going there in August? Hot, huh?
Oh, of course. There's two things I'm going to tell you. Don't ever come to New York in August or February. There's just no point. Any other time of the year, it's fine. But what's the point? It's hot.
I know. When you said smells, it is true. It does smell. Well, we have got an interesting guest today from my neck of the woods in Southern California, and we're going to be talking about life's lessons and with Sissy Terran. And Sissy has written a great book. You know, a lot of times I read books and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But she has got some fabulous, fabulous ideas in her book, The Sun Will Shine Again, Life's Lessons from a Year of Grieving. She's grieving the loss of her husband, Bernie, but I'll have to tell you that there are lots of things in here that you could use grieving any kind of a loss, because she is, I think, Heidi, we'd call her an active griever. So you want to tell us a little bit about something about Sissy, Heidi?
Well, yeah, you kind of covered it, and it was interesting. It's interesting that you're saying that she's an active griever, because I think, Mom, as you were reading the book, you said you could feel her energy and you could feel how much positive energy she has. And I think that that's going to be really important for our listeners, because a lot of them are out there and are recently widowed, et cetera, and they're not sure how they are going to see the sun again, how it's going to shine in their life again. So I'm really interested to see what she's going to say about How do you survive after losing your spouse, and how do you find hope, and how do you get the kind of energy she has eventually? So welcome to the show, Sissy.
Thank you. Thank you both. Yes, Heidi and Gloria, it is such a pleasure from beautiful Santa Barbara to talk to you.
It's great to have you on. Well, talk a little bit. Now, how long has Bernie been dead?
He died in June 2005.
Okay, so about 5 years.
So not that long, yeah.
6 years.
No, five and a half years, yeah.
So in reading your book, I got a little feel for what a great guy he was, how everybody loved him. He kind of retired early and really did a lot of volunteer work and a lot of stuff. And I was saying to Heidi, reminds me a little bit of her dad, because he's the guy who likes to, have control of the money. I don't want to say control, because he's, doesn't really control it, but he is a good guy for paying the bills. He doesn't mind doing that.
He manages. That's his role.
Yeah. Right. So that was kind of the guy Bernie was, right?
Yes, he was. And, it was, in retrospect, it's really interesting, because he did retire at 50, and for the next, from 50 to 66, he got to enjoy retirement, and we got to do the things that normal people would have done from, 65 on. So it was, serendipitous that, that our life together was as close as it was. But that's a double-edged sword, because we got to do everything together, and we got to volunteer together, and we got to, be community activists together. Then when he died, it was like, well, Sissy's with Bernie, and Bernie's with Sissy. How's Sissy going to make it on her own?
Mm-hmm. So what did you find out? What were some of the hardest things early on? We may have some people on who were very recently widowed or widower. What was hardest to start with?
The hardest thing was trying to find safe places where I could cry and not have people feel badly for me and therefore badly for themselves. What happens is that because I was young, I was 60 years old, all of a sudden it brings up other people's fears, like I'm contagious, like this is going to happen to them. And if it can happen to me, and he was so healthy and so handsome and so alive, then this can happen to them too. So that was the hardest part. I have three daughters, and I'm blessed to have a loving family and to be in a loving, caring community. Of course, I must say that I really think the community came to me and took care of me and embraced me because we had embraced the community.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you really trust the process and you are a giver, then you get back. You're not asking to get back, but people are there for you. So, but to find a space that they would just, you know, hug me and not feel so badly for me and for themselves, that was the hardest part. And that is actually how the book, grew into a life, because it started out where I'm a spiritual person, I'm Jewish, and I went to temple on Friday nights. And I went there because I needed quiet. I needed to find a place where I could measure what had happened during the week. Had I gone forward? Had I gone backward? Was I making one step forward, you know, three steps back? You know, how was I actually managing? And so that was where I was the quietest, and I didn't sit with people. You know, after a while, I just, you know, I wanted to be within myself and my own spirit. And, but people would come up to me and they'd have these horribly sad puppy dog eyes and they'd look at me and they'd feel terrible for me. And it just, it was so bothersome that I got real snappy. And I said, well, he died, I didn't die. And, you know, I can't wear colored clothes and I can't be happy. And, you know, well, how are you? And I would shout at them, which wasn't me at all. And so I saw the rabbi's door open one Wednesday thinking, you know, we got to write a pamphlet for this temple. People have got to know how to ask the right questions. And you can't say, how are you or what can I do for you? Just do something for somebody and just hug somebody. I mean, that's what they need. So I went in and I said to the rabbi, have you got a few minutes? And he said, yes. And I start talking to him. And he was 50 years old. He had never had an intimate person in his family die. And so when I got through, my 15 minutes turned into an hour with him. And I said, do you want to write a book? And he said, yes, but I don't know how to write a book. And I said, oh, great, you don't know how to write a book, and I don't know how to write a book, but we need to teach people how to handle a grieving situation, not to back away from it, but somehow to figure out how to embrace life and to go forward with it. And I came home, and I talked to my neighbor who was an editor of Santa Barbara magazine, and her husband was a movie producer, and I said, pitched my idea, and she said, Sissy, you love to talk, and the rabbi loves to ask questions. Why doesn't he interview you on your process? And so when I approached the rabbi, he really was excited about it because he felt that that was one area in his life that he was not extremely strong on. On counseling,
So you went on to write the book. Okay, now I want to dive into some of it because now everybody's saying, okay, great. What's in there? Okay, so I want to know, here I am. Your husband paid all the bills. What happened? What do I do? I mean, were you scared? Were you worried? Were you confused? You're so confused when you first have a loss. How do you deal? You can't even add.
No, you can't add. You can't subtract. You don't know what to do. At first, I didn't touch anything for 3 months because you're hoping that it's okay, that it won't crash. You don't know what you're going to do. I mean, when I went to the doctor's office and they told me that I hadn't met my deductible, I said, charge me anything you want. And I started to cry because I didn't even know what a deductible was. And when I went to the bank and they said that, what's your code? What's your ATM number? And I started to cry. I said, I don't know. I don't have one. She says, do you like any particular numbers? I mean, I started at ground zero, and I was a very competent woman. I was a volunteer. I had been a school teacher, but this was his area. This is where he took care of. So it was like, I mean, with the car, I mean, I didn't know anything. So what you do is first you have compassion for yourself. That's most important because it's real easy to be hard on yourself because you're going to lock yourself out of the house and you're going to leave the water running and you're going to leave, you know, the faucet on and you're going to overflow the pool and you're going to do all these things. So nobody's going to tell you how stupid you are. You're going to know how stupid you are, but don't do that. What you turn around and say, I'm going to learn from this. So you embrace the mistakes. It's like falling off of balance or working on you know, getting your on a balance beam. The way you learn to keep your balance is to fall. So that kind of falling, if you use that as the lesson of, okay, how can I surround myself by people that can help me figure out? And that's basically what I did.
Oh, so you brought people in to help you after you figured it. Okay, now getting into another area where people want to talk to us, how about sleeping alone that first time and that first nights and all that? What have you done about that?
Well, I just told you that it's 5.5 years later, and I'm a very honest person with integrity, and I am still sleeping exactly the same way 5.5 years later. I take all the pillows off of my side. I put them on his side. So I have the pillows, I have my boundaries, and I have my area. What I did do was I came up with an animal, and it ended up being a little teddy bear, because when I'd wake up in the morning with Bernie, I used to tell him my foot hurts or I got a headache or I have a stiff neck. And so now when I woke up, I didn't have anybody to talk to. So I found this little autographed teddy bear, and I wrote all over him. And so he sleeps with me, so he's my friend. But at the very, very get-go, when you're taking the sleeping pills and you're trying to figure out how not to be awake all night and not to be awake from 2 and 4 in the morning, one thing I did is I went to see a sleep guru to help me learn how to relax. So I did meditation. I also had a meditation tape, and I still use the meditation tape because the breath is the most important thing that you can work with. So I learned how to work like the yoga with my breath, and that helped me. And so the sleeping, you know, eventually I didn't use the sleeping pills anymore, and I could, you know, put myself to sleep.
Okay, another question. What did you do with his stuff and, you know, his shoes and his shirts and his suits, and how long did it take you, and when did you empty his drawers, and have you still got some of his stuff, and what do I do?
You ask such questions. I love it. No one asks me these questions. Very, very good, Gloria. Okay, first of all, I had to get his things out of the closet. Now, for my children, I do it too quickly, but for myself, I had to. And my gardener happened to be the same size. So, and one of my daughter's boyfriends and friends, okay, so I see his clothes walking around, and I still see his clothes walking around. I say
wow.
Specific things, but when it came to, you know, the suits and the sweatshirts, I see them because the gardener has worn them over the years, and it's been very, very special.
Okay, now I got to say one thing, Heidi. Now that kind of takes me off the hook a little bit for having Scott's room cleaned out so quick, because Sissy needed to do it. So Heidi gives me
a little. I had to. It was one of the things I had to do. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why, but I must tell you, I saved his ties. Okay. And I thought to myself, someday I'll do something. Well, just this week, my last daughter is going to be married at the end of next month. And we're having her wedding dress made, and the seamstress asked me for a plastic bag. And I went in the top of the closet to get one, and lo and behold, what do I find but Bernie's ties? You talk about serendipity. I brought them down,
wow.
And I said, Allegra, I have an idea. If I give you a jean skirt that flares at the bottom, will you make me a skirt like that out of Bernie's ties so that I can wear it the night before the wedding?
Oh, my gosh.
I love that. That is such a great ritual. I love that idea.
Is that going to be fun? It will be so...
That's amazing.
You
that
know,
so
different patterns and different colors, and it will be absolutely all these things. But I sleep in his T-shirt still. But listen, I still sleep in my mother's, and she died in 1995. I'm very sentimental.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you a really tough one. Are you ready? What do you think about internet dating?
I haven't done it. I had know people who have been very successful with it. I was on a cruise, and I met two couples that did it. But for me, so far, I haven't. Now, my children have said, Mom, it's time. It's time that you get your feet wet and you do it. And I have to be braver, I guess. You know, like I said about compassion, I want to think outside the box, and every year I give myself another challenge. This year, my challenge is going to be to travel alone.
I was going to ask you about that, traveling alone, eating alone. Heidi, have you got any questions or thoughts of, you want to ask her about?
Yeah, I do have some thoughts. We're going fast because there's a lot of stuff to cover, I realize. But, Sissy, I want to say that I really, really commend your children, because what I hear most of the time is the absolute opposite, where women are kind of ready to maybe think about dating, and their kids dig their feet in and say, no, you're never, ever dating anyone again. Our father died, and we don't want you to even think about ever going out with anybody again. And I love that your children are so different and saying, you know what, Mom, it's okay. Why don't you try it or whatever? Go for it. It's wonderful,
you know,
that they're doing that.
Heidi, I'll tell you something about not just my children, but my family and my friends. They're very supportive of me because they know that I will make the steps when I feel comfortable making the steps.
Right,
and I think that's what people have to understand. I'm in charge of my life now. I don't have anybody telling me what I have to do and what I don't have to do. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I make the decision. I'm the last buck. I've done a great job. My world has not fallen apart. Like Chicken Little, the sky did not crash down. I have handled myself financially. I've never been in better physical shape, which is another thing I didn't even discuss with you. I started working out right after Bernie died, because I had read so many books about people having accidents and falling. And so I take care of myself emotionally. I take care of myself physically. So my children have seen that I'm alive. So therefore, they are not responsible for taking care of me.
You know, Heidi, talking about exercise, mention what you heard at that seminar you went to recently about walking.
Oh, yes, on Friday. I heard a man that's a neuropsychologist talking about the brain, and he said, if you're over 60 and you walk 1 hour a day, just 1 hour, and that's the only exercise you do, the hippocampus, which is where your memory is stored, ends up growing, and you have a lot less memory loss and as you age. And you only have to walk an hour a day.
And that's wonderful. And not only is that walking, but that's helping, again, with the breathing, with the life force that is within each one of us. And then people will say to me, you know, because I went around the United States for 2 years because I was adopted by hospice, and I was talking, and they would ask me certain questions. And the one thing that I think is number one is do something for somebody else. There's no pity party.
That's something else, too.
Service in action.
Yeah, service in action.
Service in action. And if you ask me how you stay young, how you stay healthy, how you heal, do something for somebody else.
That is a great note to end the show on today, Sissy. And you've got a great book here, and people can get it through Amazon, I assume, and your website. And what's your website?
www.thesunwillshineagain.com or Amazon.
All right, get Sissy Tarrant's book. I will tell you, it's a great book with a lot of great ideas in it. And thank you so much for being on the show, Sissy. You're a real inspiration.
Thank you. Namaste, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sissy.
Well, you've been listening to the Open to Hope show with Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Please visit us on Facebook and also go on our site and tell us your story. And stay tuned again next week.
You've been listening to Open to Hope Radio, hosted by Drs. Gloria and Heidi Horsley. Like today's edition, all of our past programs are available on demand at opentohope.com, along with helpful articles, videos, resources, and links to help get you through the toughest time of your life. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter and sign up for our monthly newsletter. Again, that's opentohope.com. Check it out today. Then be sure to stop by next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time when we'll be posting another edition of Open to Hope Radio. Remember, others have been where you are. They made it through, and you can too, as long as you're open to hope.